Take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I got a wagon, it's loaded, and I'm itching to unload it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to have the worst half of the Blevins family with us tonight. Glory to God. Amen. I know, Brother Tommy, you'll tell Sister Janet what I said, so that's the reason I'm sending that message along. Amen. Amen. If I was sitting there, I guarantee you'd be looking at the worst half of the Vannoy family. I guarantee you that. Amen. When I say my better half, I'm not just saying that. That's the truth. All right. Psalm 119 tonight. This psalm has been a blessing to me. I hope it has been to you. It's been a while since we visited. We're going to look at the little section of verses that start with verse 121 tonight. And so many things have fallen in place. Olivia having that work done on her eyes this week and how delicate the eye is. I think Brother Brian told me Sunday that it would feel to her like that she had a hair in her eye. And someone else told me that it would feel like, or told Charity that it would feel like she had sand in her eyes. And I said, well, I've had a hair in my eye, and I've had a welding flash. If you've ever had a welding flash, it feels just like somebody throw both eyes full of sand. And but when you can go to sleep, it seems like it helped you to get over it. But tonight, you'll understand why I said that about the eye and the timing. The Lord's always on time. Let's look at verse 121 down through verse 128. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. When I read that verse, I went back. You remember that we said that the word of God in every verse was either mentioned directly or indirectly. And I thought, well, verse 122, the word of God's not mentioned there. But then we looked at that surety over in the book of Hebrews, and it was talking about Jesus, a better testament. He was made a surety for us. And of course, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, talking about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. 123, mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Boy, what a statement to be able to make. Glory to God. I am thy servant. I believe that's the greatest title a Christian could have, is to be a servant of the Most High God. He said, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Beloved, listen. Listen who said that. A man after God's own heart. I tell you, I don't care how far down the road you have been or how far down the road you are, you can always say, God, give me understanding. Help me, Lord. Teach me thy statutes. I've always thought it was interesting of the disciples, that the disciples had two requests when they walked with the Lord. Number one, teach us to pray. Amen. Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. He said, preacher, what about teach me thy statutes? Well, they said, increase our faith. Well, the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. So they needed an increase, and I do too. That I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. I thought how timely that verse is with what's gone on this weekend in our country. Amen. It is time for thee. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can say whatever you want to, but Donald Trump ain't going to get it done. Hillary Clinton ain't going to get it done. There's no Congress going to get it done. We need God to work in this country. Amen. We need God to work. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. Look, can you get a verse of scripture to fit the situation this country's in any better? Lord, we need you to work. That ought to be a good prayer request. Amen. When we go to the Lord in prayer, God, work. Work on behalf of our church. Work on behalf of our country. Work on behalf of our family. Work on behalf of our community. Amen. God, we need you to work. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. But I want to get started. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Amen. So let's look at these verses of Scripture and ask God to speak to our hearts tonight. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, God, for each one that's come. And Lord, for the prayer meeting, the Bible study tonight. I pray, God, that you'd burn these truths into our heart tonight. And God, help us, Lord, to be a better Christian, Lord, for thy name's sake. And God, I pray that you'd keep your hand upon our church. Keep your hand, Lord, upon our lives, upon, Lord, the lives of our sister churches. Then, God, for those men, Lord, there are many, like Brother J.W., Lord, that have gotten down physically, can no longer do, God, what they've spent their life doing. I pray, God, you'd visit with that dear man of God and others tonight. Encourage them along the way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just a little bit of review, not much. It's been a long time since we've been to Psalm 119. But Psalm 119 has 22 sections of 8 verses each, making up the, what is it, 176? 176 verses, is that what it is? I'm not looking. 176 verses in Psalm 119. Each section of 8 verses begins with a letter, the next letter, starting with the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, all the way through. And then we need to remember this, each verse in those 8 sections, if you were reading in the Hebrew, would begin with that same letter. The letter that we're looking at tonight is the letter Ein. The letter that, out of all the studies that we've done, that sticks out the most in my mind, I cannot get over it, I think of it often, is the letter Sadi. That was the pictogram, remember, of the servant, bent over, bearing a load, carrying a load. I remember seeing the word righteous and the word righteousness 5 times. I said, God, there's got to be something. 5 times in those 8 verses, I remember seeing that. Then when I studied the letter out, hallelujah, we're made righteous in him that was willing to stoop, come to this world, bend over and carry our load to Calvary, amen, that we could be forgiven, that we could be washed in his precious blood. The word, the letter Ein, it means eye, or a fountain, a spring of water. The pictogram is 2 eyes. The eyes, the first occurrence of Ein in the Bible, this 16th letter in the Hebrew language, is in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 2, where the Spirit of God moved over, let's go back and read it, over the surface of the waters. Let's read Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2 together. I didn't print that out in its entirety. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Talking about being over, the Spirit of God was over. The word is also the Most High, who is over us, and it has the same meaning. The eye, as we look at it in these 8 verses, God is watching over us. He cares for us. Thank God he is the good shepherd. That's what David understood in Psalm chapter 23 and verse number 1. I've said this often. I hope you don't get tired of it. But he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. But the best shepherd you'll find is being able to say like David, he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he said, I shall not want. The little boy in Sunday school had a little bit different version. He quoted it, the Lord is my shepherd. What else could I want? Hallelujah. I tell you what, if he's your shepherd, he'll see you through. Amen. We don't need to be a greedy people. We don't need to be lusting after the things of this world. The word Ein means a spring, as a spring of water in the desert. Remember that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 16 for just a moment. I'm just trying to introduce the letter for just a moment, and you'll understand why that's important. Genesis chapter 16. I want to start reading in verse number 7. I learned something. When I get to this part over there in the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to pay attention because it blessed my heart. Never in this world would I have seen it without what God had shown me there. And I believe I'll share that with you tonight. I believe it'll be a blessing. In verse number 7, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water. This is talking about Hagar. Do you remember that? Sarah told her to get out. She's out there in the desert. The angel of the Lord found her. Remember this Ein. It means I. It also means a fountain of water in the wilderness by the fountain of the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Now watch this. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. Every man's hand against him, he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God, look at this, thou God seest me. Remember that about this little word, Ein. You have the fountain and you have God seeing in the same context of Scripture. Let me tell you something. He saw Hagar, he saw Abraham, he saw Sarah, he saw Isaac, and he sees you and he sees me. And he sees David in these eight verses, and that's what we'll get to after a while. What a blessing that is. He said here, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called, well, you say it. Amen. Beer Laharoi. That's the best I can do. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. They say, preacher, what does that word mean? That is it beer? Beer, how would you say that, Brother Steve? Beer? He said, no, I'm not saying it. Amen. Anyway, it starts with beer, and then it's with Roy. Amen. Anyway, that word right there, listen to what it means when you're tying this word Ein in. Fountain and seeing the eye. It means well of a living one, my seer. Hallelujah. Amen. God put it all in the same context. Ein is also the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So you find the first mention of the fountain and this I in chapter 16 of Genesis. Ein is the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. The first 11 speak of our rescue. The second 11 speak of our race. The first 11 chapters of Genesis speak of our rescue, Noah and his family. The second 11 chapters speak of the race, Abraham and his faith and faithfulness to God. Amen. When we get saved, God wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. He wants us to run the race. We just had a Bible school about that. With patience, he wants us to serve the Lord all the way to the finish line. Now listen to this. The Sermon on the Mount. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 6. I'll get to the verses in a minute. I'm just trying to introduce to you a little bit about this eye and this fountain. And what a blessing it is to see that this Hebrew language. It's so wonderful. I know there's no way that I could have ever absorb the Hebrew language, but I can study it a little bit and find out some things and some meaning of some things along the way. Matthew chapter number 6. This is exciting. Never, 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 ever would I have dreamed that this means or tied in like it did. You'll see in a minute. Matthew 6:22. Look at verse number 22. The light of the body is, say it with me, the eye. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. I have read that verse of Scripture, no doubt, thousands of times since I've been saved by the grace of God. Now notice this. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now remember this. Remember this, we just looked at two verses of Scripture. God's going to teach us something tonight about the importance of context. You know why we've got every religion under the sun? Because people take this verse and that verse and this little piece and that little piece and they build them a doctrine, they build them a church, they take it out of context. Never have I seen this verse in its context until today. I was studying and I got to think about I've got to study a little bit about Jewish thought and Jewish history. And to have a good eye in the Jewish community means to be generous. Now, wait a minute. He said, preacher, that ain't got nothing to do with this. You better hold on just a minute. To have an evil eye means to be stingy in the Jewish thought, in the Jewish community. I did not know that. Now, let's back up and read it in its context. We're talking about the eye. We're going to look at the eye of God in David's life, what God is seeing in David's life in just a few minutes. Let's go back and read it in its context now. Look what the Bible said. Let's look here in verse number 19. Lay up for yourselves treasures upon, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, what's it talking about? They're talking about treasure now, isn't it? Right? I never did see this before. He said, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me tell you something about the eye. There's a whole lot of people, all they ever get their eye on are the treasures of this world. And in the Jewish community, that means you have an evil eye. You're stingy. You want to hoard. Keep it to yourself. But if you have my friend, an eye that's pleasing to God, it means you have a generous, you're looking to be a blessing to somebody besides yourself. Amen. Now watch this. You say, preacher, I still not believe in this. Watch this. Then he goes into the light of the body, the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. It goes back to what a man said years ago. Joy. Spell it. J-O-Y. Here's where real joy is. Jesus first, then others, then yourself last. That's where joy is. I'll tell you where a lot of Baptists are. They spell joy, Yaj, Y-O-J, instead of J-O-Y. Say amen right there. I tell you what, they're miserable. Ain't never got enough. Amen. Always looking for something else. Never content. Always envying somebody else. Jealous of somebody else. But I tell you, if Jesus is first in your life, you realize this, you came in naked, you're leaving out naked, might as well help somebody along the way. Amen. I tell you, it's a blessing. Amen. Now see, preacher, watch this now. Thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, the light be in thee darkness. How great is that darkness? Now, wait a minute. Look at the next verse, just in case you were doubting. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters. What about that? Brother Ralph, I've never seen that in my life. Amen. The context of talking about that eye. And listen, Josephus is not a Bible writer, but he is a Jewish historian. And you can learn some things, amen, about the Bible in the history. Thank God the Jewish people gave us our Bible. Amen. God gave it to us through that community. No man can serve two masters. Either hate the one, love the other, else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Here's what nails it down. You cannot love God and mammon. You can't love God and be stingy all at the same time. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. There's probably not a person in the building guilty of this. But when I talked about a special offering for a preacher a while ago, man, something inside of you ought to say glory to God. If something down inside of you said another offering, then my friend, maybe this is for you tonight. Say amen right there. I tell you, God's been good to us. And we need to be good to others along the way. Amen. Ein, it means I, a fountain, a spring. Listen to what Proverbs 28:22. Brother Brian, you've been in them Proverbs some. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. There's just some more proof, amen. If that's all you're looking for is to be rich, listen, let me tell you something right now. You can be guilty of that without being rich. You can, how was it worded over there in Timothy? Somebody help me. He said, I'll have to read it. Let's get over there. It's not the way some people think it is. In the book of Timothy, let's see, I don't know, I'll find it in just a minute. Okay, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. Didn't say they that are rich. In other words, that's all they live for is to get rich. I tell you where a lot of them's at tonight. They're down there scratching. Help me. They just bought them a pocket full of lottery tickets and they go over and drink coffee and scratch a while. They're not rich and they'll probably never be rich, but that's all they live for, is to be rich. There's a lot of people in this world like that. You say, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you love this Bible, you'd love that kind of preaching. Amen. It said it didn't say they that are rich, they that will be rich. The love of money. It didn't say money's the root of all evil. Honey, I tell you what, money is a blessing if it's handled right. But it said the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, well, are you having fun yet? I am. Amen. Ein, the eye, the fountain, in the context. God, let me tell you something, has a good eye. You say, preacher, what do you mean there? Let me just say this. How generous was he? Think about this for just a minute. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Rose. Abraham had a good eye. Willing to lay his son on the altar and raise the knife and take his life in obedience to his heavenly Father. He didn't have an evil eye. He had a good eye. God has a good eye. I thank God he had his eye on David. He's got his eye on you. And he's got his eye on me. He's got his eye on our country. I'll tell you something right now. Our country's in a mess. We're calling evil good. We're calling good evil. Amen. We're in a mess. We're in a mess. I tell you what I believe they ought to do the next time a drunkard runs over an innocent family and kills them. I believe they ought to outlaw alcohol. How many knows what kind of chance they are in Congress getting that done? I'm going to tell you what, you can lay a gun down, it ain't going to hurt nobody until some idiot picks it up. Let me tell you something right now. If I'm not allowed to have a gun, then only the idiots will have them. Amen. God has his eye on the situation. God knows the situation. We're in a mess. We're in a mess. I believe judgment's already here. But I believe, honey, it ain't going to be long ago. God's going to open the floodgate of judgment on this country if we don't change course. If we don't change course. Let's get in here now and look at David for just a little while. The Bible, the numerical value of Ein is 70. The Bible talks about the days of our years are 70 years. The Bible talked about Moses and in the Exodus 24:1, the 70 elders in Israel. The Bible talked about in Daniel 9:24, the weeks, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. Let me give you some things tonight. I've spent a lot of time in introduction. But and I could quit and come back, but I don't want to. I want to give you these things tonight. I believe it's wonderful. Let's look down through these 8 verses quickly. What does God see in David's life? What does God see in David's life? Number one, look in verse number 121. I've done judgment and justice. God sees David's integrity. Let me tell you something about integrity. Integrity is what you are when nobody's around. Reputation is what everybody thinks you are. But integrity is what you really are in the eyes of God. Amen. God saw David's integrity. Let me tell you something right now. David had integrity whether he was out there taking care of those few sheep, like Eliab said. Who did you leave those few sheep with in the wilderness? I'll tell you what, David did leave them with a keeper. He didn't abandon his sheep. That's integrity, amen? David had integrity. And I believe we ought to understand that it doesn't matter if it's dark or if it's lit up, if we're alone or somebody's there, God's eye is seeing everything that's going on, amen? The Word of God said, beholding the good and the evil. You see, 2 o'clock in the morning the other morning, you say, preacher, why does that mess happen at 2 o'clock in the morning? Ain't nothing goes on good in the daylight like that. Say amen. They'll wait till dark. Want to know why? Because their deeds are evil. They'll never come to the light because their deeds are evil. That's what the Bible said. God sees David's integrity. Number two, in verse number 121, he said, "Leave me not to mine oppressors." God sees David's enemy. Let me tell you something right now. If you're not careful, the devil will back you up in the corner and try to make you think that God doesn't even know what you're facing. Let me tell you something right now. This is what I believe with all my heart. When David marched down there in that valley and he reached in that brook and he got those five smooth stones, I'm going to tell you something. Not only did David see Goliath, but glory to God, his father saw Goliath. I'm not trying to be funny, but I believe that rock, when David went like this, I believe he was a pro at it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He could have missed without God. But glory to God, with God, he couldn't miss. Amen. Listen, they didn't have a GPS back then, but God did. It was called God's positioning system. God positioned that stone just right. Why? Because God saw that man defying the God of Israel, standing out there cursing. And God knows our enemies in this country. God knows the enemies of the church. God knows the enemies of our country. God knows you can't turn the television on anymore and watch a wholesome program because Hollywood hates the family. Amen. Trying to make it acceptable. Trying to make, divorce acceptable. Amen. Listen, I know there's divorced people here tonight, and you also know how it hurts. I've often said, my friend, if we love God and a preacher's preaching on something we're guilty of, we're hollering, amen, the loudest. Amen. God knows that it hurts. God knows there was a time when the divorce rate in the church wasn't equal to the divorce rate in the world. Amen. God sees the enemy. We have an enemy. Listen tonight. God loves you. He loves me. But I'm going to tell you, we have an enemy that God hates tonight. We'll see that a little bit later on. God knows the enemy trying to destroy the fabric of the family. Listen, one man and one woman for one lifetime. You never hear those statements anymore, but that was God's plan. Aren't you glad? Thank God there's forgiveness when we miss God's plan. Some miss it in marriage, but all of us have missed it somewhere. We've missed the plan of God. Thank God there's forgiveness. God sees David's enemy. Let me give you this. God sees David's deficiency. He said, "Preacher, what do you mean? He's a man after God's own heart." Look at the next verse. He said, "Be surety for thy servant for good." In other words, David's saying, "I can't do this by myself." Let me tell you something about every child of God. We've all got our deficiencies. And we all need God to go to bat for us. Amen. To stand in for us in the battle. The battle is the Lord's. God saw David's deficiency. Let me give you this and look in verse 123. God sees David's expectancy. David said, "Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness." Listen to me carefully. It wasn't saying here that David wasn't saved. It was saying that he wasn't totally saved. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" David had already written. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He said, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David was expecting, my friend, to leave out of this world and walk with God like he had never walked with him before. He was walking by faith. But David said, "Mine eyes fail for thy salvation." Honey, there's a salvation yet coming to the children of God. My soul's been saved. But thank God I'm going to have a saved body that's going to be united with a saved soul. And I'll be like him. What a blessing that is tonight. God sees David's expectancy, his confidence in divine mercy. God saw that. He said, in Lamentations 3:21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He saw David's submission to divine authority. He saw David's prayer for divine teaching. He said, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Let me give you this, just a couple more things.